On a new subject, on the worship of God.
Amen.
Worship of God. And if any of you missed that tape on the Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, I would like you to listen to that. That's very important because worship of God is something really important. I think if I little bit elaborate to you. I'm going to go through a little bit today, and this may go for probably about 3 weeks. First, today I'm going to give a little foundation and look how this apostasy started, and then next week we are going to see on the Old Testament, how the apostasy fell in the Old Testament. And we are going to go through a lot of scriptures and some people and how the worship of God, how the apostate worshiped, some examples in the Old Testament. Then after that, we are going to come into the New Testament. Alright? So we will get a good picture on this. We will see the whole counsel of God on the worship of God. In 1543, John Calvin wrote a little booklet or letter to the emperor. His name was Charles V. And his topic, Calvin's topic, was to the emperor the necessity of reforming the church. I believe we have that in our website. If you don't have it, I'll be putting that. The necessity of reforming the church. So he wrote this letter to the Roman emperor. And in that he says, the most significant thing is to have the knowledge of God and how to worship God in the right manner. That's the most important thing, is to have the knowledge of God and to worship this God in the right manner. Then he said, worship and salvation is the soul of the church. The sacraments and the church governments are the body in the church. Now, why is it that worship of God is so important? It is an eternal thing. The worship of God is when it starts here. As we come together, we are worshiping in God, and also in heaven, we are going to worship God forever. It's an eternal thing. If you cannot do it here, you can't do it in heaven. It's not a temporal thing that you come and worship God. You know, some people say, you know, it's kind of boring to come to church. You know, and people are looking to go home. I tell you, heaven, you know what you're going to do? You're going to worship God forever. So don't say that heaven is going to be a boring place. Yes, the other option is hell. And if you turn with me to 1 Peter, why I say this, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, chapter 2, 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you will proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow! He called you out of darkness. He called you from going to hell to his marvelous light. Just like how Moses told Pharaoh, let my people go so that they may worship me. Children of Israel, they were serving. They were under the bondage of the enemy. In the same way, in the parallel way, we were brought from darkness to this marvelous light to give praises for him. And we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are priests in the kingdom of God right now. That's what the Bible says. What does the priest do? Worship God and prayers, giving prayers, adoration, thanksgiving, supplications. That's what the priest do. And Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Revelation 1 5 says here, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of ruler over the kings of the earth to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to God and the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. If you're a true Christian, you're a priest to serve God, to worship him, to love him, to adore him, give praise and adoration. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Revelation 20. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Here we are again, we see saints are called the priests of God. The priests of God, we offer sacrifices of praise to God. We offer sacrifices of obedience to God and thankfulness to God and giving glory to God. God requires worship. Why does God require worship? What is the reason? Just think about it. Why does God require worship? He requires worship, first of all, because he is the creator. And we are his creation. As he is the creator, he created us, he requires worship. Number two, he requires worship because he is the redeemer. Not only he is the creator, but also he is the redeemer. Meaning, he is the one who brought us from darkness to the light and gave salvation. So, that's why we worship him. Now, of course, there's a battle. When it comes to worship, there's a great battle. God is the creator, he is the redeemer, and there's another one who requires worship. And that is who? The enemy, Satan. He also looking for worship. Because if you remember how the battle began in the Garden of Eden, how the enemy came and spoke to Eve, and the enemy said, "You shall not, you will not surely die." It's a lie. The enemy didn't want the Adam and Eve to be subject to God's word. The enemy came against the very authority of the word of God and said, "You shall not surely die," when God told Adam, "If you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die." And here we see two people coming. God is coming one side and telling Adam to do this, and the enemy is coming on the other side and telling the opposite. Now, whom are you going to submit? Whom are you going to serve? Whom are you going to worship? Enemy also on the other side, he wants worship. And if you remember, if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14, how we see that Satan desires worship. Isaiah 14, verse 12. And it says here, How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you are weakened, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the further side of the north. And here we see how then I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Satan's desire is to what? To be like God. He is looking for worship. And if you are not worshipping God, guess whom you are worshipping? It's Satan. Because there are only two powers here. There is no middle ground here. If you don't worship God, you're worshiping the enemy without even your knowledge. Even you may not believe in him. If you remember in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, Matthew 4. The devil, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. If Satan wanted Jesus to worship him, how much more he's going to ask you to worship him? He's not going to tell you directly, worship me, but as long as you don't worship God, you're serving him. That's the deception. Now, our goal as Christians is to worship the living God in the true biblical manner.
Amen.
If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Genesis 3, after the sin, Genesis 3:21 says here, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. If you remember the story, how Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were not running to God to ask forgiveness, but they were running away from God. They were hiding from God because sin separates from God. And they were not only hiding, they realized they were naked, and they were making fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And here we see how God is the one who came to them. And what did God do? God killed an animal. There was a blood sacrifice right then and there.
Amen.
And here we see God covered their nakedness. Adam and Eve, they were guilty, they were naked, they were open of their shamefulness, of their sin, and they tried to cover their own righteousness with the fig leaves. But what happened? There was a blood that was spilled. The first physical death was a sacrifice, an animal was killed. That's the first thing that died on after sin. Animal was killed. Why? To cover their nakedness. And this is the first animal sacrifice done by God Himself to cover our guilt. This is a picture of Christ. When we see how we are guilty before Christ, we are naked, miserable, pitiful, and we see that we are guilty before Christ, and we try to do our own righteous ways to come to Christ. But it is the righteousness of Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. It is His righteousness. It is His blood that covers us before God.
Amen.
So here God showed the sacrifice. The only way that you can come to God is with a blood sacrifice. And God Himself set that example to man. That was an example that was set to man at the very beginning. The blood sacrifice. So man cannot have fellowship without a blood sacrifice.
Amen.
If you remember in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, how God told, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And here we see the woman's seed and the seed of Satan. And from the woman's seed, we see there is going to come the apostate worship. Not the woman's seed, Satan's seed, there is going to come the apostate worship. The woman's seed will come the Messiah, the true Israel. The true Israel means the spiritual Israel, the true church will come through the woman's seed. And these two will be always opposing one another. And what happened is, let me ask you a question. Where do you find the first sin that is the apostate worship in the Bible? The first apostate worship in the Bible. Genesis chapter 4. So if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis is the word Genesis means the beginning. All the beginnings are there. Okay? Every beginning is in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, we'll see the first apostate worship. If you remember the story here, in chapter 4, verse 1, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Now, Eve thought this is going to be the Messiah. Because God said, from your seed will come who? From the woman's seed. We're looking forward to the Messiah. And Eve was so excited. Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother, against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Now here we see the story. We see the story here in the process of time. That means in the course of time. That means, you know, why did they bring an offering to God in the first place? Think about it. Why did they bring an offering to God? You bring an offering to God to worship Him. And here you see the first apostate worship. You bring an offering to God to worship Him in the process of time. They knew how God wanted as a blood sacrifice from the very beginning. That's the only way you can come to God. God set that example at the very beginning. How God covered their nakedness. But here we see when Abel brought a blood sacrifice. Not only that, it says that he brought the blood sacrifice, and also he brought the best, the firstborn of the flock. And they are fat. That means an animal that was without blemish. The best. And the firstborn. And Cain brought a bloodless sacrifice. And he says here, the Cain said, what he brought was just brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Just the fruits. Not even the first fruits or anything like that. Not the best, but just fruits. It's not the best. Cain was not that serious in worshiping God. Absolutely not serious. He came to worship God just casual, just like how some people come to church today to worship God. Some people come, well, today, isn't it Sunday? Let's go to church. Where's my Bible? They haven't even prepared their heart. They don't even see the seriousness whom they are coming to worship the Lord. And Cain's offering was an offering of thankfulness. Just as a duty, you come to church. As a duty, he just, you know, I got to go and see God. So let me get my fruits here. Where is it? It's just as a duty. He gave the fruits of his own labor. To show, you know, these things, that it's what I have planted, what I have done. This is my own labor, my own strength, my own righteousness in coming to God. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. Why you bring a blood sacrifice? Because the Hebrews says, 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Abel saw just the opposite. He saw, what righteousness do I have? I have nothing to take. I have nothing. There's nothing in my own that I can show God, this is what I have done. Absolutely nothing. So what did he do? He gave the best, the fattest, the firstborn, the first, the animal. And he sacrificed that animal and brought as a sacrifice to God. Abel saw God in a different way. He didn't come in a casual, in a casual way, not in a, but he came in a very serious way because he saw that God is holy. God is powerful. And he had a godly fear before God in coming to his throne room. Because of this godly fear, he saw God is holy. He saw there's nothing I can bring here because I'm a sinner. The only thing I can bring is what God has set an example is to bring a blood offering that he can forgive my sins. Only blood can forgive my sins. So he saw that he was a sinner. There's no righteousness in him. And he saw what he brought was because when you come into the presence of a holy God, the first thing what you see is what? Your sinfulness. Your sinfulness. And so remember, when we worship God, the first thing we need to see is that, you know, God is holy. It's so easy to say, Abba, Father. But I'll tell you, also we need to see that God is holy. If you turn with me to Psalm 96, verse 8. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come to his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Wow. That's the way we should come to church. That's the way we should worship God. We should worship God in the beauty of his holiness. That we should tremble at his word. And not come in kind of casual way, you know. As if God is just like a body, you know. That's the way how people treat Jesus today. You know, they take, oh Jesus, you know, kind of telling his name in a very, just like our name and so forth like that. Oh, he's my friend, you know. Jesus is my friend. Of course Jesus said, you are my friends. At the same time, we need to realize, if you see, we need to see the holiness of God. We need to see that he is awesome. Just like how Peter saw the power and the majesty of Jesus when Peter and the disciples couldn't catch any fish and Jesus said, now come and follow me. What did Peter say? Oh Lord, I'm a sinful man. And see that in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, you are sinful. You should tremble before him. How the heavenly Jesus appeared to Apostle John in the new revelation. Apostle John passed out. And the same way, of course, we can come to Jesus anytime for what he has done. What he has done on his merit, we can come to him boldly. At the same time, we need to see, is just, we cannot take his name just casual. Psalm chapter 5 verse 4 says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell in you. And then he says there, but verse 5, the boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful of man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship towards you, your holy temple. Now, Abel's sacrifice was done in faith. Now, let me tell you. You turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. 11, starting from verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. And this is just the opposite. You don't go by sight, you go by what? By faith that is not seen. Then verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. Now, just imagine, The sacrifice of Cain was fruits. And it's nice to see fruits. I mean, you bring to God, as this looks very nice. But remember what Abel brought. It was a bloody sacrifice. It was smelly. Kill him. Kill an animal, it's blood all over, spilling, you know. It's a kind of like a blood everywhere. And bring it to God, this bloody sacrifice. Which looks more nicer? Which looks more pleasant to the eye? Which smells better? Of course, Cain's. That's what the world wants. You know, all apostate religion is so pleasing to the flesh. It looks beautiful to the eye. But Abel's sacrifice is a mess. It smells bad. It's a blood all over. But you know what? Abel did it by faith. By faith. He killed, he did by faith because he saw God was holy, he was awesome, he was not bringing in an outward way where it looked nice, because Abel was his sacrifice was a type of sacrifice of Christ Jesus. It was just like the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Abel's sacrifice pointed to the sacrifice, to the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. It was by faith. Well, always I ask you, how does the Old Testament people get saved? They get saved by looking towards the cross, by faith looking towards the cross. We get saved by looking backward for what Christ did on the cross. He killed an animal. Now, the true worship should be centered on Christ alone. The true worship, there has to be Christ in worship. Without Christ, there is no worship. And here we see Christ in worship because an animal was killed. And that was a sacrifice what Abel brought. There's an animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Wherever you see a blood sacrifice, you will see there's Christ in that. Because Christ is the one ultimately who was sacrificed, the blood sacrifice. But, you know, how many people have gone towards Cain's way today? How many churches? You know, they don't look to the blood sacrifice. They go according to feelings. They go according to the looks. Even some people say, I feel that the worship of God is here because many people are slain in the spirit. I feel because there's a lot of miracles happening here. I feel that, you know, they look around and they say, wow, this must be the place of God. As I see that God is here. Well, let us turn to Genesis chapter 28. As we should not go according to our feelings. Genesis chapter 28. 28 verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Genesis 28 started from 10. Verse 11 says, so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of the place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and the north and the south. And in you and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then, see verse 16, then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely that the Lord is in this place, and I did not even know. He said, surely the Lord was over here. He is in this place and I am not even aware of it. See, what I'm trying to say is, you don't have to look for the things that the Lord is here. You can be here today and say, wow, I'm not even aware that the Lord is here. Because we don't see Him. We don't see the feelings. We don't see people slaying on the ground and, you know, all the emotions and so forth like that. But surely the Lord is here. Because we preach the blood, the cross, the sin, and so forth like that. But God is not there. The Lord is not there. And you don't have to have all those things to see God. And people might come, I don't, this is just a house. I don't see this as a church even. But if that's what people are looking for, the New Testament church started in houses. It didn't start in a cathedral. It didn't start. What about the churches in Africa? In Nigeria? Maybe under a tree they have church. Church is the body of people. It's not the building. Amen. And here we see that Jacob was not even aware. And again we see in that picture, what did he see? That angels coming from heaven is ascending and descending. And if you turn with me to John chapter 1 verse 48. John 1:48, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Where did we see that? In the book of Genesis for Jacob. What do we see here? The picture. We see the bridge of earth to heaven. The bridge from earth, heaven to earth, and from earth to heaven is Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can go to God, through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the way. So that's why without the blood, you will not worship God. That's why Christ is the center in worship of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5, Jesus said, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. There's one mediator. There's no Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says there's only one name under heaven that we can be saved. That's Jesus Christ. So, but the false worship is very attractive. Even if I ask people from, you're saved from what? You know, a lot of people, if you ask them the question, you're saved from what? A lot of people, they don't even know how to answer that. But because the Bible says we are saved from what? From the wrath of God. We are saved from the wrath of God. Gives a picture of the Passover in Genesis, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus, and it shows the Passover, how the God passed over. And if he did not see the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn children, or anything firstborn, anybody firstborn will be killed. And if the angel of death saw the blood, they would be saved. And here, God, we are saved from the wrath of God. To God, we are saved. Amen. From wrath of God, we are saved also to God. Cain's offering was beautiful to look. It was an external worship. It was like his duty that he had to go with his offering. Most modern churches, their worship is external. Buildings, wow. They're more concerned about the church buildings They spend so much money on the church buildings. They have the images inside, the crosses, the doves, and the incense. They put so much money outside for people to feel that they are in church. It's all external. It looks good. Even sometimes, even the modern evangelical churches, they put so much money on music. In a sense, you know, they say, wow. I'll never forget this person when I was way before, when I came from my missionary trips from the Philippines over here. You know, I was used to a church in the really remote area in the Philippines. It's not nice buildings or whatever like that. It's a little mud hut. It's a little hut. And this person said, you know, I love to go to Calvary Chapel Downey. The reason is, wow, the worship, I can really feel God there. Mm-hmm. When the music is so good, the worship there, the feeling. And I'll tell you, if sometimes we can worship the created things instead of the Creator, that's the danger there.
Amen.
We should worship the Creator God, not the created things. Mm-hmm. And those created things can take our mind away for feelings instead of really. How about a person in Arangaya, a person who was a cannibal or a headhunter before, now he is worshiping the true living God. How does he worship over there? I'll tell you, in a little heart. There's no feelings to look around. It's this country, there's so much put on the outward, the glamour and the glitterings, the carpets, the air conditioning, the pews, you know, make it like a church. So people, when they come in, they feel it. Huh, that isn't that like Cain's thing? It looks so beautiful. There's so much outward, and Cain was the first hypocrite, the first Pharisee, who brought everything outwardly, looked better than the Abel's bloody sacrifice. But how we need to see that God is holy, and we need to worship God in humility, in reverence, not according to the wisdom of man. If you turn with me, let's close with this, Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 verse 6, he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commands of men. Very interesting, in this scripture we see, like Cain, many people come to God. Even they believe in the living God. Just like the Pharisees believed in the living God. And many people in the church, in the fellowship, they give even sacrifices of praise to God and thanksgiving to God. There's a form of godliness in front of people. In Isaiah chapter 48 verse 1, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the word of, mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness. They even mention the God of Israel, but not in truth, in righteousness. Here we see the same picture here. Jesus is saying, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I'll tell you, your body is here. Your lips are moving. You're singing praises. But your hearts are not here. Maybe your heart is in the basketball game. Huh? Maybe your heart and the mind, they're looking at me. Your body is here. Your eyes are looking. Everything looks good. But your heart is far away. Your mind is traveling somewhere else. It's wandering somewhere else. Maybe in the mall. Maybe it's in the home. It's absent. Your heart is absent from you. It's far from God. Jeremiah chapter 12 verse 2 says, Jeremiah 12:2, planted them, yes, they have taken root. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. You are near in the mouth, but far from their mind. Near in their mouth, but far from mind. Ezekiel chapter 33:31. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to this brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart pursue their own gains. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And here we see they come as people, but they hear the word of God, but they didn't do, because their hearts are not here. In the presence of God, when the word of God is being preached, there has to be a fear of God. There is a holy fear in the presence of God. Amen. Cain did not have that holy fear. And Cain, he was a fleshly man. He was a worldly man. He came as a religious, he came to do his religious duty to God. And how many are coming to church to do their religious duty to God on a Sunday? Because the heart was not there. Heart is far away. Many people, their hearts are far away. Their hearts are in the world. They are thinking of their gold, the diamonds, and the wealth, and everything else. They are running after covetousness as soon as the church is done. Greediness. Religion is a thing that's, you know, it's wanted to be seen and to be approved of God. Not approved of God, approved of men. Just like the Pharisees. Jesus said, in vain they worship me, because they worship according to the tradition of men, not according to the commandments of God. This is what is called the external worship. External worship that seems, that looks good, that pleases our flesh good, but doesn't convict our sins. There's no blood in that sermon. There's no cross in the sermon, because it goes according to the traditions of men. I mean, a lot of times you go to church and the pastor wants to give what people want to hear. Because if I give what you want to hear, I will tell you, a lot of people will come here. Because we can make a lot of jokes here. I can spend my whole week thinking about the newest jokes.
Amen.
I can think about all the humorous things that I can say. And I can make people, when they come here, I can mix those jokes, I can mix that humor into the word of God. I can put all the humor and the jokes, I'll tell you, people will be laughing. And they will say, wow. And when they laugh, I'll tell you, and I will say, wow, neat, look, I made the people laugh. I made the people awake. I made the people excited. And I made all these things, and people are looking to me. And they like the preacher. And they like the humor. They like the jokes. And they will come and tell, you know what, you should come to my church. Because in my church, you will like our pastor. And you will get excited. Not only that, they preach the word of God too. And you will like the word of God. So what do? We put all kinds of stuff We take the word of God and we add all the beauty and all the honeycomb. We attract people with the word of God. We put all these things and we add to the word of God. I'll tell you, Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 2 says, it's holy and its worship should be holy. Deuteronomy 4 verse 1 says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word of God which I command you, nor take from it, that may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." You don't add to anything to the word of God. I cannot add jokes and humor, and then we can say we are worshiping God. We're not worshiping God. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 12:32. "Ever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." Here he says, we need to preach the pure gospel, the word of God, nothing else. Nothing else. We cannot add or we cannot take it away. I cannot sugarcoat it and nicely stroke you so you will feel comfortable here. People who like that. The people in the world, they like that. Right? The worldly people, they like to hear a worldly gospel. Jesus said, if the world, in the book of John, he said, if the world wants to hear, they would love to hear what they want to hear. Because worldly people, they like to hear something fleshly. You cannot add the fleshly things into the word of God. Hey, we can have some churches today, they are having all kinds of what? Like movies or whatever that is, worldly things, concerts and whatever like that to attract people, Oh, they put worldly examples into that, to the word of God. You can do all kinds of things. But where is the wrath of God that is going to come? Is that the way the Old Testament prophet preached? Of course. If you preach the true gospel today, you're not going to be popular. You're not going to be popular. That's why we need to hold to the word of God. Nothing else. Not to what I feel, not to what people do, not to what the way we do. We have to worship the God as it's prescribed in the Bible.
Amen.
Now next week we are going to see when people in the Old Testament, what happened to them when they went according to their own way, where they wanted to do their own way. And we are going to see a lot of example in the Old Testament. Alright, let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Greatly you are honored, Lord. Awesome God, majestic God, hallelujah. We praise you, we glorify you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Even when we were faithless, Lord, you are faithful. Multitude of mercies we come here, Lord. Our sins are so filthy, so rotten, Lord, so wicked. We come what Christ had done for us on the cross by His blood alone. Thank you, Lord. We are going to have communion today.